But just to recap, Jesus died so we could inherit. And he left us an open door into a relationship with God. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but through me. So Jesus is the only way that we can access a relationship with God. And he's left that as our inheritance. He's left open access to the Father and therefore to heaven where the Father is. And he wants us to engage where he is, and he wants to come and live within us because we become a habitation of his presence, but we also can go and access his presence where he is. He's left us eternal spiritual life, which starts now. He's redeemed us, so he's left us redemption, buying us back from the slavery to sin, and he's left us reconciliation, where we're reconciled back into a relationship with God, where we were separated from him. He's adopted us, so we have adoption into his family, which brings us relationship, and it brings us sonship. And as sons, we are there to fulfill his eternal purpose. So we have a destiny and a purpose, and he's left us his mantle of authority to outwork that purpose. So that's what Jesus did, but we have to enter into all that. Galatians 4:1 says, now, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. So even though we may have an inheritance, we have to grow up and mature to receive that inheritance. And when we're children in maturity in sense in terms of God and our relationship with him, we cannot inherit everything because we're not ready. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit in us cries out to God, and he wants us to join in. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So we have to be sons to inherit what God has for us. And another scripture in Romans says we're joint heirs with Christ. So everything that Christ is an heir of, and it says in Revelation that he was an heir to the nations of the earth, then we are a joint heir with him. But we have to grow into that. 1 Corinthians 11 is again a scripture talking about the Old Testament and the children of Israel, which we've been using as an example. It says, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And we've seen that they took a journey from Egypt, from slavery, through the wilderness, into their promised land of sonship. It's a journey of restoration of their inheritance. And we've seen that the Joshua generation, Joshua and Caleb, were the only two that were left. And they inherited that, and they enabled the next generation to inherit also. And we believe that's what God has called us to here. God experientially, personally, face to face is the key. Joshua continued into the presence of God. He wasn't satisfied with, well, there's a big pillar of cloud and a big pillar of fire. He actually spent time with God, getting to know God himself. He knew God's love and joy and peace, God's faithfulness. And when we do that, it helps us to learn to trust God and therefore to obey him, because we know whatever he's asking us to do is what's the best for our lives. It comes as we learn to trust him. Joshua and Caleb had to learn how to overcome many obstacles to take possession of their inheritance. And we're on that journey as well. They had to learn the art of spiritual warfare. It wasn't just given to them on a plate. They had to pursue it and overcome the things that were in their way so that they could take their inheritance. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. So what it's saying here, it means that we're not to just fight against people. We're not just to fight against things naturally with our physical resources, we have to use something different. We have to use our divinely powerful weapons for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds, which are mindsets, ways of thinking, which rob us of our identity and our authority and our power as children of God. We are destroying speculations. Speculations are thinking patterns. They are things where you speculate. Every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Those are the things that have to be destroyed, and we can't do them with fleshly methods. We have to do them in the thing of the Spirit. We're taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. The things which stop us mostly are how we feel about ourselves, how we think about ourselves, how we see ourselves. Because if we see ourselves as a slave, we will act as a slave. And those of you who are fighting addictions and different things in your life, if you see yourselves as a slave to it, you will act as a continual slave to it. God wants to show you that you are an overcomer. That overcoming and being a conqueror are who you really are. And if you see yourself as an overcomer, what will you do? Overcome. So we have to see our mindsets and the way we think about ourselves changed, and those have to be demolished and smashed down. But the weapons we use are godly and divinely powerful. So number 20 of the Joshua generation says the Joshua generation will equip people to be consecrated or sanctified. That means to be set apart, dedicated and holy for God. Joshua 3:5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, this was on the east of the River Jordan, before they crossed over into the Promised Land. They were called to make a decision whether they would choose to consecrate themselves, set themselves apart from everything that they'd already gone through into something completely new. And it became a challenge. And in Joshua 3:7 it says, now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. So the Joshua generation, God will acknowledge and he will affirm and he will do things through, but not the way he did them through Moses. Just as he'd been with Moses in intimacy of relationship, but actually he was going to start to do something new. Verse 8 says, you shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. So they were now to come to the Promised Land, and there was this big river in flood stopping them coming in. Remind you of another story, when they came out of Egypt. Big sea stopping them going forward. What were they to do? Well, they could have made a load of boats. I'm sure the opposition on the other side of the Jordan would have seen a load of boats coming, because it would take them years to make boats for 2 million people. So they had to find a different way, a supernatural way. And God did something supernatural. In verse 9, Joshua 7:3 says, then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you will know that the living God is among you. The living God was among them, and he was going to do something powerful. And then it says, and he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, Perizzite, Girgashite, Amorite, and Jebusite. All the ites, all the nations that were in their inheritance, that at the moment had possession of what belonged to them by inheritance. So there was a whole lot of people that had to be dispossessed. Now, we don't fight against flesh and blood. So think of these as things in your life, maybe mindsets, maybe patterns of iniquity, maybe things from the past, which stop you receiving your inheritance. But God promises that he is in us to remove those things. But if we fight from the flesh, we try and do it from the outside in. But God is in us to do it from the inside out. We just have to allow him access into our life from the inside to change and transform us and change us. Now, a few weeks ago, I was praying, and in a vision, I saw a tree, and the tree had fruit on it. But in this vision, God pruned all the branches and all the fruit he removed, which seemed quite sad in the dream. And I felt it was like, oh, what are you doing? And then he spoke to me and he said, I am going to deal with and fertilize the roots. All the things that we've seen as fruit, and those maybe miracles and healings and different things that God has done and provision and things that God has done for us, he is removed and is removing. And actually deal with the roots and fertilize the roots to produce a new form of fruit, a new way of doing things. So we're going to see miracles in a new way. See, all the miracles of God's provision stopped when they crossed over the Jordan. So if we're wanting to enter into a new dimension with God in the Spirit, we cannot expect him to keep doing things the way he's done them in the past. The manna that he provided every day for their food, the quails that he provided when they moaned that manna wasn't enough for them, the water that came out of the rock supernaturally when they were thirsty, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire which guided them and directed them, their clothes not wearing out, which they didn't for 40 years, all that stopped. Awesome miracles, and yet they were coming into a new dimension. The crossover into that new dimension, it means that the old ways have to stop. So God is not wanting to give us continual old ways, because in the old ways, they were like children. They come out of Egypt. They were still slaves in their mind. They were like children. They had an inheritance, but God had to provide it all for them. So he did the manna and the quails and all those things. He provided for them. But when they were to go into their authority and their inheritance, they had to do it. They had to do it God's way, and God would direct them and give them a strategy, but no longer was he just going to do it all for them. Now, quite often, we are always asking God to do stuff. God, will you heal this person? God, will you provide that? God, will you do this? Will you do that, God? And God looks down, I think smiling, saying, see, I've told you to do that. You can heal that person. You can provide this. You can do that miracle. Because you're my son. You're my children. You have an inheritance to be like me and do the things that I do. So God is taking us from a place of being in childhood, being children, in our understanding of the things of the Spirit and the dimensions of the Spirit, and he's taking us into a new dimension. But the old things are going to stop. Joshua 2:2, Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly. So he sent men across the Jordan, two of them. Previously, Moses sent 12 spies, and they certainly messed up, 10 of them. Now, I believe these two spies were people like Joshua and Caleb, men they trusted who would go into that land and would spy it out and would see the good things of the land and would bring them back a good report. And in verse 24, this is what they said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. Now, that wasn't a physical thing. They hadn't all run away. But God had already challenged their hearts and they were fearful of God. The enemy is fearful of you. Do you know that? The enemy is afraid of you. That's why he wants you to remain as a child. As soon as you grow up into maturity as sons, you have authority to put him under his feet. Under your feet, stamp on him, keep him in his rightful place, under your authority. Jesus said that I've given his disciples all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will nowise hurt you, Jesus said. The enemy has no power over us other than that which we give him. And God wants us to become mature and take possession of our inheritance. In the last 2.5, 2/3 years, I think it was, from August 2010, I went on a fast for 40 days and into September. In June 2010, I received a prophetic word from Mike Bryant, basically calling me to come into a new dimension of the Spirit and to enter into the realms of heaven. Having gone on that fast, I entered into those realms. And it went across the Jordan, if you like, into another dimension, crossing over into a new dimension of the spirit, into the realms of heaven, and into new spiritual revelation of what we were going to do. So for the last 2.5 years, I have been equipping and sending spies into that new land. And some of you are those spies. You've gone in there. You've seen your spiritual inheritance. You've experienced the realms of heaven. You've seen some of the things of the mountains in heaven. You've seen some of the things of the courts in heaven. You've seen some of the things of the garden and the rivers in heaven. You've experienced heaven firsthand. How many people think heaven is a good place? Yeah. Somewhere you want to be. We don't have to wait until we die. The Jordan does not represent death and going into heaven when we're dead. It represents us choosing to engage in heaven now into a new dimension of the spirit and take possession of our inheritance. So we have sent spies in and they've come back with a good report. Now the rest of us, we have to be willing to go in. The Joshua generation groups are the next phase, if you like, of preparing to consecrate ourselves to be ready for what God's going to do, the wonders he's going to do, because it's preparing us to operate in a new way. Because when the old ways stop, if you continue to try and operate in the old ways, there is no anointing in them. Because God moves, and he's at present moving us from the old way of doing things into a new way of doing things, ready to see awesome things coming. Now the question is, who's willing to cross over the Jordan? Who's willing to leave old revelation and old ways behind? Because you can't take them with you. If you want to enter into the realms of the Spirit that God is revealing, you have to leave the old ways behind. Who's willing to separate themselves from their old identity as slaves and to embrace a new identity as sons of God? Who's willing to leave the childish things of immaturity behind? Not that they weren't good, not that they weren't wonderful, but actually they were milk. Children, babies drink milk. But actually, I like a good steak. Sorry for those who are vegetarian, but I like a good steak. Some of you like a good nut roast, whatever you like. But actually, it's actually solid food. God wants us to leave behind the ways of childishness and enter into maturity. There are new things for us. We are at this point now as a church where Joshua said, consecrate yourselves. God is saying to us, consecrate yourselves. Separate yourselves from the past and be ready for the future. Some of you, like Joshua, have already been spies and forerunners. Now, the sad thing, when they got to this point, 2.5 tribes decided that they were going to make their home on the east side of the Jordan. They weren't going to live in the promised land. They were going to live in the old land. They had the choice and they took that choice. Everyone here has that choice. Do you want to enter into the things that God's doing, or do you want to stay in the old things? See, Reuben was the firstborn. He gave up his inheritance. You can choose to remain in the old, or you can choose to cross over into the new. We can live in a new land of new spiritual revelation, of new methods, of new authority and power to do things in a new way. From the old and the new is a battle. We have been in this battle for the last 2 years. It's been a battle between the old and the new. The last couple of months has been an intense battle. For some of you, you'll know what I'm talking about. The battle has intensified because actually we're at a point where God is saying, consecrate yourselves. Be willing to enter into the new. Now, is anyone willing to consecrate themselves today and to cross over the Jordan and take possession of the responsibility to be mature heirs and not children? If you want to do that, then we're going to activate that. We're going to pray together and speak out some things. Now, God has shown us a new way of separating ourselves from our past. We do it through a legal process of divorce. We separate ourselves from our past. If you want to do that, I want to encourage you to stand. And in standing, what you're saying is, I am agreeing to consecrate myself to leave behind the old. Now, in this thing, there is something called the mobile court of God. where the mobile throne that had wheels on it comes and sits in your place. Now, the mobile court of God is coming into this room. Just close your eyes for a second. We're now standing in a courtroom. The mobile throne of God has appeared. Around us is a cloud of witnesses who are witnesses on our behalf. The seven spirits of God are there who affirm who we are and our identity. Jesus is here as our advocate who's trying the case on our behalf. So we're coming to face our accusers. And our accusers are the strongholds and the familiar spirits that are behind the mindsets that would keep us in slavery, to keep us in childhood, to keep us from our inheritance. And we're going to consecrate ourselves and separate ourselves from it. Okay, so that is the picture. That's what we've stepped into. So I want you to now speak these words out in faith together as we're going to consecrate ourselves. So I step into the place of responsibility in the governmental mobile court. I accept responsibility as a priest of my own life. I take the covering of the word of God. I place it over my head as a covering of your love. I agree with my accusers that I have operated with slavery mentality and an orphan spirit. Father, I accept responsibility for thinking and acting like a slave and an orphan. I repent and renounce slavery, and I choose to forgive and release all my previous generations for giving me an inheritance of slavery. I come under the covering of your word, blood, and presence, and I ask you to judge me according to the covering of your love for my life. Judge this slavery and orphan spirit in me to destroy its yoke and power over my life. I stand cleansed, righteous, innocent. I receive divorce papers from its influence. I confess I am divorced and separated from slavery and its influence in my life. I release judgment over my accusers, the familiar spirits behind the strongholds, speculations, and mindsets of slavery. I release divinely powerful judgment to demolish all slavery in my life, body, soul, and spirit. I administer judgment and justice as a son into every circumstance and area of influence in my life affected by this issue of slavery. I consecrate myself as your son. I receive your inheritance as a son. I declare myself ready to leave the old ways behind me and cross over into a new land. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's part one. You can sit down. Now we're going to do part two of this. Because the next thing they did in crossing over, they had to face something. Number 21, Joshua generation will free the next generation from the reproach and the effects of past generations and into a new revelation of past activities. See, there are things that God did that they never did in the wilderness. But they were really important things. Joshua 5:8, when they had finished circumcising all circumcision, guys, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover. So it was two things that they did not do when they were on their journey. They did not initiate circumcision, which was a physical act which represented the covenant they had entered in with God, and they did not observe the Passover. Now, we're going to look at the Passover and that next week. But I want to finish today by looking at this whole thing of circumcision. Now, in Romans 2:29, it says, "Circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not the letter." So, no knives, physical ones today. So you're all free from that one. Those of you who are worrying, we're going to take out some flint knives. You're okay? Because it's not actually a physical circumcision we're talking about. It's a circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2:11, and in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It's something that God does in our hearts. Reproach. God said he was going to roll away the reproach of Egypt, of slavery. The reproach is the shame, disgrace, the blame, the disapproval, the disappointment of our past lives, and it's to be removed from us. Our old identity of slave, orphan, victim, sinner, failure, being useless, hopeless, is going to be removed. It's going to be rolled away. So we can minister and disciple in our new identity as sons, not slaves. Because if we're slaves, what will we disciple people into? Slavery. So we have to be free. Take our possession as sons. Now, the sign of a covenant relationship with God was where their hearts were set apart. That was what circumcision represented. And we exchanged all our old for all the new. The old nature of self and selfishness, there was an incision made. And it was excised, cut away. And God wants to remove those things from our hearts. It was a sign that the old had gone and the new has come. It was a sign of sonship and identity. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That represents what God did in the new covenant when we entered in through the cross into what Jesus did. It's what we do. The circumcision represents the transformation. Romans 12:1-2. Brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice so that the new things can come forth. So I encourage you to make a choice to step over the Jordan into the place of circumcision, which is the place of the cross, place of covenant exchange, where you can exchange the old for the new. Now, what God did in the Jordan, he sent a wind. Now, we know that angels are the winds and ministering spirits to hold back the water. Today, before we were praying in the prayer room, several people saw a whole lot of angels. Those angels are to hold back the water so that we can walk across into that promised land this morning. Because it's fine consecrating yourselves and saying, yes, I'm going to do it, but actually you have to do it. You got a cross. So we have an opportunity today to step into a different dimension. We actually do something physical, but actually in a spiritual sense, we enter into where the cross is active. Jesus opened up heaven so we could come through the veil to him as our high priest to present ourselves before him. So again, I'd encourage you, so we're just going to finish with this. If you want to say, I'm going to walk across the Jordan, I want to encourage you to stand and take a step when we walk forward. Now I want you to close your eyes to start with and just see in front of you, there is a river in flood. But God has sent angels to hold back that water. So before you now is dry land. And in that dry land, you can now walk across. And again, I want to encourage you just to speak these words out in faith as a demonstration of what you're doing in coming to a covenant exchange with God. I step in through the veil of Jesus, through the way of the cross. I step into the realm of your government. I present myself to you, Jesus, my high priest, to circumcise my heart. I come to trade on the brazen altar of covenant exchange. I exchange my sin for your righteousness. I exchange my rejection for your acceptance. I exchange my guilt for your forgiveness. I exchange my sickness for your health. I exchange my old life for your new life. I exchange my old identity for my new identity. I exchange my old name for your new name. I exchange my old nature for your new nature. I exchange my old bondage for your new freedom. I exchange my old records for your new record. I exchange my past for your future. I exchange my darkness for your light. I exchange my weakness for your strength. I exchange my thoughts for your thoughts. I exchange my character for your character. I exchange my ways for your ways. I step back into this realm forgiven, cleansed, and clothed with righteousness. I am empowered for transformation, to manifest your glory, bringing heaven to earth through my life. My heart is circumcised. My life is consecrated and set apart for your kingdom purposes. I am receiving your healing and wholeness. I receive your adoption, acceptance, and affirmation as a son. I am ready to take possession of my inheritance. We are God's children. We are his people. We've stepped across that water today. The old things are going to go. New things are coming. New dimensions of authority and power and responsibility to take possession of what belongs to you. It's like this is an important day. What they did when they stepped up, they set a whole pile of stones in the river as a memorial. And they remembered that they crossed over from the old into the new. Whenever the enemy comes to say, you're a slave, you remind him you have a memorial that's set up. A day which you crossed over and you're no longer a slave, you're a son. And you're going to act and think and behave like sons, mature sons who are going to operate in the fullness of their inheritance. Amen?